Welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier and it's my pleasure to be with you for the next 2 hours. The first hour we have Anchor In, as we do most months, to come and tell us what's going on, and then being the first first Wednesday of the month, we've got our private eye, PI Pete, coming in, and we'll be talking to him and seeing what he's been up to and what's going on in the private eye world. But anyway, first of all, we've got Anchor with us. It's my pleasure to introduce Heidi. We've had Heidi before. She's the big chief down there, the CEO. And we have today with her Peter Stinsdale, and he's the manager of youth development and homelessness support. And of course, it was homelessness is right in the topic at the moment. So welcome to you, Heidi and Peter.
Thank you. Thank you, Alan.
We didn't hear you, Peter.
I said, thanks, Alan. Nice to meet you.
No worries. Heidi, homelessness. Yes. I just want to ask you one quick question first, and then I know you're going to tell us a bit about homelessness and what's going on.
Yes.
In all your studies and what you've done, is there one particular reason why there is so much homelessness, or am I asking the million-dollar question, which is how long is a piece of string?
I think you like those questions, Alan, from experience.
Yep.
Look, there isn't one reason. I think that, unfortunately, people may experience some events that lead to homelessness. We often say that homelessness is about 5 steps away for all of us. We could all experience bad luck or bad fortune or bad relationships or whatever. So, you know, we are all only those few steps away, potentially. But look, you know, the key drivers really to homelessness is lack of affordable housing for everyone, regardless of, you know, what income you're on and et cetera, or where you live. So, you know, there just isn't affordable housing. There is not enough social housing and public housing for people who are on fixed incomes, very low fixed incomes. So, you know, the sense of if you're on a pension or you're on an unemployment benefit or a disability pension or whatever, and something happens like a big electricity bill or, you know, a few bills or, you know, you lose your job or whatever, you can be very close to homelessness, particularly if you're in a rental situation.
Yep.
And, you know, to be able to sort of say, well, look, I'll move to somewhere else that's a bit cheaper is just not possible.
No.
It's just not possible anymore. So, and I guess misfortune and lack of income, poverty, et cetera, drives homelessness. But I think the other big driver of homelessness is family violence.
Yep.
That would easily knock out of the park numbers of any other people. So it's women and children that have family violence.
I was going to say, Heidi, is it a bigger percentage of say single mums or just ladies by themselves or just female?
Both. Both. I mean, the quickest number of people who are homeless is in the older female age group.
Right.
That is a lot to do with fixed incomes, low incomes, fixed incomes, finally leaving a violent relationship they may have been in for 30-odd years, feeling as though, well, we've got a house and I'll get half the house and buy a unit, and that just doesn't happen. Yeah. All the money's sewn up. They leave with, you know, sometimes nothing, no skills, no job. And, you know, you hear it over and over again, older women saying, well, I bought a van and I live in my van. And these are women who have come out of quite normal, stable situations and never really, certainly never believed that they would be homeless. And you hear women say they never told their children because they were too embarrassed.
Sure.
And that they didn't want to burden them, their children and whatever. And, yeah, so, you know, that's a really, and women are retiring without much superannuation. So, you know, all of those factors, but by a long shot, it is women with their children fleeing violence.
Terrible, isn't it?
It is. It's pretty unfortunate. And what, you know, I'm sure Peter will agree with this, that what we find is that, very much so that women quite, you know, bravely, I think it's very brave, leave the violence, believing that there'll be somewhere for them to go. The believing that, you know, that they leave the violence and then, you know, sort of there'll be an organisation to look after them, provide them a house, and of course that's just not the way that it is. So yes, it is pretty sad. Often women who have to flee violence flee to poverty, and that's a fact.
All right, Heidi, we've got to take a break fairly soon, but first of all, I'd like you to just give us a bit of a rundown on homelessness.
Homelessness Week. Homelessness Week is always from is this year from the 1st to the 7th of August. The week
itself.
So
we're
itself,
right in it right now, aren't we?
Right in the middle of it.
Yep.
And the week is designed to debunk myths and raise awareness of the issue and how it affects our society. People have a very often have a very fixed view that it's the drunk old man sort of sitting on the street that's homeless, and we try to debunk that myth by saying that actually that's not, I mean, yes, you can see that, but most forms of homelessness are very invisible. There are people who are sort of on the edges of our society, you know, couch surfing or spending time in their van or the car or whatever. It's all very quite invisible. So it's trying to debunk some of those myths and for people to really understand this issue and this problem. And it's also the theme of the week is to end homelessness, we actually need a national plan. There's too much, you know, of the different states doing different things and thinking, well, they've got the solution and someone else has got the solution. We actually need a coordinated national plan where we build housing, you know, social housing, public housing in every state all year, each year. And we actually have a plan. And that's what's missing. And I think that's what Homeless Australia has really nailed this year is the fact that if you look around the nation, there's no plan.
Fair enough. All right, it's got to take a quick break, Heidi, and we'll be back with more. Well, that's fell off the bridge, isn't it? You're listening to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's now 17 degrees, one more degree to go. And we're talking to Anchor, and we've got Heidi and we've got Peter. We haven't heard from Peter much yet, but I just want to throw a question to both of you, and maybe this is up to Peter or whoever. One of the myths that's going around, or that could be going around, I'm asking you, is it that some people just say, oh, well, it's your own fault if they're homeless? Is that, I've heard that said. Is that something that you hear often?
Unfortunately, yes, in some areas, but mainly relating to rough sleepers, I think, because that's the image people have, as Heidi was saying, about that drunken person, and or not necessarily drunken even. There are people living in tents around Yarra Ranges, as you would know, and sometimes, as we're just discussing off air, far more visible in the city.
Yep.
And I think what it relates to is people whose mental health is just so poor at the moment, that moment in time, that they won't seek help. So what happens there is people will reject services and they will reject help, which then perpetuates, I suppose, that that idea that these people don't want to be helped and that they're actually choosing to be homeless. So and it is actually the case, we'll have people say, particularly who are out in the valley, so they don't want to live in a boarding house where they might get treated badly, their stuff gets stolen, they've had bad experiences, so they prefer to go and sleep rough. But making that choice doesn't really mean that they're choosing to be homeless. They're just choosing to live the way they are at the moment, and they're unable to access really the services they need to really help with their mental health is the underlying issue.
And I guess one of the things that you just mentioned is in the city and that, well, I mean, the government tried to get rid of them, and I'm not slagging off at either side of government here, both the same. They want to get rid of them because it looks bad. The council wants to get rid of them where it's bad, so they'll put something in. But it's a bit different if you've got somebody sleeping rough in or that's homeless in, in the Yarra Valley, isn't it? It doesn't put that sort of pressure on governments or councils.
Yes, and we have a lot of people sleeping rough in the bush, so they're actually invisible a lot of the time. So there's only a very small outreach program in the Yarra Ranges that's funded by council, but only a small amount that assists Anchor and Holy Fools to actually do outreach to some of these rough sleepers where we can. So we'll do things like, if you think about it, in the summer and bushfire danger, these people have no phones and sleeping in the bush. So I
hadn't even thought of that, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Peter, we'll take a quick break. I've just got a couple of things I have to do. Then we'll come back, and I'd like you to talk to us and tell us what Anchor are doing in the Yarra Valley for homeless work, if you could, please.
Right.
G'day, this is Lindy. You're on Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
And you're listening to Community Connections, and I have with me Heidi and Peter from Anchor. Peter, I'm sure that with it being Homeless Week, I'm sure Anchor have got some special programs or special services going on this week. Could you tell us a bit about those, please, Peter?
Well, probably the most opportune is a barbecue today happening in Main Street, Lilydale, where I'll be popping down after this to grab a snag and really just to talk to anyone around homelessness issues in the Yarra Ranges, because I think the main thing we want to do is not just raise awareness, but to identify what homelessness is here in the Yarra Ranges, as we're talking about, not just that person on the street. One of the biggest issues here in Yarra Ranges is, in fact, youth homelessness, which goes very much unseen. I think the figure is 1 in 7 of people who are presenting as homeless are unaccompanied young people. So, and by young people, we mean, you know, between 16 and 25.
Are these people at home as, and we're not talking about kids who've just had a blue with their mum and dad and they were told to clean up their room. We're talking about young people, aren't we, who's either sexual problems at home, you know, or being molested and all those sorts of problems, aren't we?
You know, that's a difficult question because every young person has their own their own story. But we have a program in Lilydale called Support for Young People. That's a supported accommodation program. At the moment, we're only funded for up to 14 young people, and it's a 2-year program. So, what it has gets a fantastic results. We're very proud of it, but it is like a drop in the ocean because we know at any one time there'll be up to 40 young people couch surfing around. In other words, because they can't be at home, they'll be trying to stay at mates' places and roaming around that in the ranges. But the answer to your question about the causes, and the main one I would say that they all have in common is that they don't have someone else in their life to look after them. So when they have to leave home, they don't have the aunt, the uncle, the friends of families and the family connections. So, and which is a main part of our work, is helping to reconnect these young people and create a community for them, because regardless of what happens at home, which whether it's a lot of it's parental mental health, parental drug and alcohol abuse, that just creates an atmosphere where they can't survive in. And these young people are often the hidden victims of domestic violence, because the domestic violence going on in the home is what drives them out of the home. Yep. So, as I said, it's a complicated question about why these young people become homeless.
Heidi told you I like to ask the tough questions.
Yeah. Always the tricky questions, but then Peter's always got the answers.
And, Peter, you said there were a couple of things. So there's a barbecue today, and what was the other thing? The other event you've
We have people at Talking of Youth at the Youth Hub in Lilydale at any time who present a service for homelessness.
Yep.
And most of it, we had a forum yesterday, which we've missed, obviously, but which along with the Lord Mayor and Holy Fools, organised by Holy Fools, and that was, again, to bring awareness. And I must say, through the Yarra Rangers on their website, they acknowledge homelessness, and, in fact, they have a portal there, which is quite important for us, because that's for people. If you see somebody sleeping rough, you can report it on that website so that we can then respond.
But it's not, from what you're saying, Peter, it's not only the person that you see sleeping under the bridge or that. There's also the hidden ones that you talk about that are couch surfing that can't stay long term, but at the moment they're okay, but can't stay where they are too long.
That's right. Yeah. And then that can include families as well, because not all families' response to, say, domestic violence is to connect with domestic violence services. Right. You know, sometimes what they'll do is go to a friend's place because as their first resort, but then that can wear thin quite quickly. Yeah. And so it's after them cramming their family into somebody else's house that suddenly they need support. And to come in, and their first thought that they have is a house rather than the support around the family violence. So therefore, they'll sometimes come to us first rather than through the family violence services.
All right. So the main aim of the week, let me just get this straight, the main aim of the week is really to lift awareness to Mr. and Mrs. Average that this is really going on, isn't it?
Yep. And I think also too, this particular week is really critical because the next few years is going to be far worse than we were ever have seen, because the situation is going to get a lot worse.
Is it?
Absolutely. Well, the fact of the matter is that you know, people are going to be starting spilling out of homes because they can't pay their mortgages. In Victoria, we have the highest occupancy rate in the nation of rentals.
Yep.
So we have very few rentals for anyone to even consider if they need a home.
Yep.
I think that cost of living is going to really start biting. We're already hearing in country areas, I was down in Gippsland last week, we're already hearing that people are choosing not to buy petrol and drive their children to school because they can't afford it. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to afford their electricity bill. This is Mr. and Mrs. Average. So, you know, the number of people that are going to fall into disadvantage over the next few years is going to be huge. Yeah.
We're already seeing people who actually have jobs presenting as homeless because they can't get a rental afford, or for actual lack of rentals, and therefore having to either move right out of area or come to us as homeless.
Gee, that's terrible, isn't it?
Well, in America, 45% of homeless people have full-time jobs.
Fair dinkum, 45%?
Yep. Have
full-time
jobs.
Heidi, I'll throw this to both you and Peter and either one, because would I be underestimated? No, let me answer it another way. Have you had an increase due to COVID in homelessness? Somebody?
Well, yes, so it wasn't Peter. So much an increase, but what happened was very positive in some ways, because we were given the money from government that enabled us to accommodate everyone who was homeless, normally wouldn't. So all of those rough sleepers, any family that presented, we could accommodate in crisis accommodation, being hotels.
Right.
So at one stage, to give you an idea, just out here in Lilydale, we had 55 families in hotels.
Fair dinkum.
And normally we'll have one or two is all we're funded for. So, and those rough sleepers, if they were to present today to Anchor, unfortunately, we'd be saying we don't have the funds
to
put you in a hotel. We'll give you a list of boarding houses. We can give you a swag potentially. But throughout COVID, we actually had the funds to accommodate everyone and no one was turned away.
Yeah. The only reason why I mentioned COVID, I thought, from what I've read, that there was certainly a bit of a surge in family violence during that period.
Yep. I mean, I think that the other statistic that's really important for people to know about is in the year 2021, the financial year 2021, 114,000 people across Australia were turned away who needed homeless. Turned away because we didn't have the resources. This is nationwide.
Yeah.
And that was up 20% on the year before. So I think that what we're going to see is we're going to see an increase in people turned away over the next few years because we just don't have the money or the resources to be able to help these people.
So that 114,000, that was on top of the people that were able to get help. So there was
Pool. These were the ones who were turned away. Exactly. Exactly. And that number is just going to increase because the system just doesn't have enough resources. But I mean, I guess, you know, for people to know that just providing the roof over the head is important. Housing first is very important.
Yep.
But what people often will need is the wraparound services to help them heal from their trauma and experiences.
Yeah, the other services.
They are the services. That's important.
I'm just going to take another quick break and we'll be back with more.
You're Yarra Valley FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
Welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice to the valley. And we're talking to Anchor. Peter, you were saying before that during COVID there was quite a lot of money around to be able to do that. So was there any good that came out of COVID at all?
Absolutely. There was a lot of good that came out, but that also highlighted some deficits in the Yarra Ranges itself. So, for example, the government initiative called Homelessness to Home provided 120 properties across the east that they found to put some of our hardest rough sleepers and most needy people into housing with wraparound support under this is what we call the Housing First model. So just out of Lilydale amongst our clients, we had 30 people who had been chronically rough sleeping, some of them around Yarra Ranges for 10, 15 years, who are now housed with intensive support, which is fantastic.
That's great.
Also out of it, but only one of those properties was in the Yarra Ranges. So they had to go. They were down in Hawthorne, of all places. Kilsyth was about the furthest out. Also, you might have heard of the government's big housing build, $5.3 billion to build thousands of houses. 400 of them are being built in what they call the East. But by the East, they mean the furthest out is Croydon.
Oh.
So there's not a single property being built under that in the Yarra Ranges. And it's just something that out here, it seems to be a theme that we continually miss out. So Peter, very good for those people who got that help.
Peter, I'm sorry to cut across you. Peter, is there a reason why? Is it that other councils are more proactive, or is it just the government for some reason? I don't want to criticise governments, but I just...
If I could answer, I think in the past and up till now, and I've been banging on about this for some time, we haven't had any genuine research into things happening out here. It's all anecdotal, the evidence that we have.
Right.
So where are all the hard facts about all of this? And I must say, council have always been very supportive of our homelessness endeavours, and they are actually now employing into a position that is specifically homelessness and housing in the Yarra Ranges. So this is the first time this is directly being addressed, and I think that's a fantastic thing, because as I said, we have missed out. For me, it's because we've never had the hard facts and figures that come from genuine research. We've relied too much on just anecdotal evidence. Everybody knows, but government don't react to that.
Not anymore, do they?
Their hand in their pocket. So we're looking forward to that, and we're looking forward to working with them, you know, and whoever's in that position towards that. Because there needs to be an analysis too of, well, when Heidi talks about and we talk about having a plan, it's not good enough just to say, hey, we need more social housing and we need more of this, that and the other. But it's, okay, so what do we want and where do we want it? So how many one bedroom, you know, what's appropriate for these people? Because that homelessness to home also showed, while it was very successful in some areas, it showed an issue as well, because a lot of those properties they found were pretty intense conglomerates, you know. So in other words, high rise and people put together.
Yep.
And when you take a whole lot of people who have some real ongoing issues around mental health, still drug and alcohol, then things can fall down when they're all together. So it's a need for appropriately planned housing as well. And so that people actually have a choice and are given housing appropriate to their needs with the appropriate support.
That was one of the problems they found years ago, wasn't it, when they built these great high-rise flats around Port Melbourne and all that, stuck a whole lot of people in there. In fact, they created sometimes more problems than what they solved, didn't they?
That's right. And this happened due to, again, just a lack of housing. At least they found some housing for these people.
Yep.
But it really highlighted that, hey, we don't have anything. We don't have anything in the Yarra Ranges that you can point to where we could have put people. Even the government was head leasing properties. In other words, they were going and renting them. They weren't just government-owned properties. They were happy to go and rent a property if they could find one, but there was just nothing to be found in Yarra Ranges. So, again, just getting back to planning, and I think that's a really good move by council to have somebody who's across social housing as well as homelessness. Because hopefully what that will do is to get some research and some facts about what is it we need, how many one-bedroom, how many two-bedroom, you know, where is it actually available to build in the Yarra Ranges? Because most of the results we do get for people means them having to leave the Yarra Ranges. And for a lot of people, particularly families, that means uprooting their kids from school, uprooting them from what social connections they do have. And they have to move to another area, which isn't ideal, of course.
And I guess if you're homeless because of domestic violence, one of the worst things for the children is to take them away from all their friends, their schools,
that's right.
And everything, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that is what happens to kids. They get completely disconnected, and you know, some have to be in hiding because it's so dangerous. Yep. So you know, having that experience as a child is lifelong, has lifelong effects.
Well, I was just going to say, one of the problems with that is they almost, while they're a victim now, they become a lifelong victim, don't they? Because you've taken them out of all everything
that they
knew.
That's right. There's lots of complexity for kids who have to flee violence with their mother. There are lots of complexity.
And Heidi, Heidi, you're saying that your belief is that over the next couple of years it will get worse.
Yes, I'm afraid that most pundits are saying that it actually is going to get worse, yep. Because there will be people that fall out of their own house because of mortgages or whatever. They'll want somewhere to rent. What perhaps is quite. Nuanced is that the Residential Tenancies Act changed about a bit over a year ago,
yep.
And it actually has changed for the better for renters, but what it's meant is that landlords are now thinking, do you know what, I don't think I want that sort of investment.
Yep.
And what we know, particularly in country areas, is that because the standards of some of the accommodation was quite low, and potentially it would be out in the Yarra ranges too, I think, is that landlords have just dumped it onto the market because they've just, I'm not going to pay $20,000 to upgrade to whatever I need to, and I can't be bothered with these residential tenancy acts where people can fight me the whole time if I need to get them out, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm just not doing it. And in fact, one of our board members who runs a big property consultancy, she's had 100 landlords sell their property in the last 6 months. 100.
Jeez.
Now that's just one property manager, like real estate agent.
Yep.
That's enormous. So that's great for people who probably want that cheaper housing to buy it if you're in that position.
Yep.
But what about all those renters?
Yeah.
So
it's 100
I think
renters.
That's right. And so I think that's what's happening is that market is tightening so tight. And then you've got the squeeze on people who actually are trying to pay a mortgage and might decide, well, look, I might just have to sell and move to rental. It's squeezing so tight, so tight. And, I mean, I was down in Gippsland last week and, you know, they've got some real, real big challenges.
Because
really
particularly down, you're starting to talk down Morwell and Mowie and some of those places.
Well, just those regional areas. And the same would be out in the Yarra Valley after you get to about sort of, Yarra Junction and out that way. It's the same story.
Yeah. Well, what I was going to say, but particularly in Gippsland, though, you've had the some of the power stations shut down too. So.
Oh, yes. They've had issues for a long time. But
so the works have gone as well.
Well, outer Gippsland's really suffered because of the fires. I don't think we had the fires and then we moved into COVID, and what we didn't realise is all these people were displaced by the fires and they've all had to move, and they still don't have houses to move back to.
Well,
so
some of them in Mallacoota.
It's a bit of a perfect storm.
Yeah, some of them in Mallacoota, aren't they? They're the... They still haven't got their houses rebuilt.
Oh, lots of people down that way, as I understand it. So I think it's, to be honest, Alan, it's a bit of a perfect storm just right at the moment. And so, there's not a lot that's going in our favour for people that don't have a home.
Yeah.
You know, we call them homeless, but the Council on Homeless Person rather refers to them as people without a home. Which I think is a much kinder
kinder, but maybe it doesn't make it sound as dramatic.
Yeah. But, these people, and I'm sure that Peter's seen many, many people come in who are really ashamed that's where they've had to end up with a homelessness service. It's pretty tough. I remember meeting a woman, Peter, a couple of homelessness weeks ago, and she'd actually... her and her husband had a lovely big home out in the Yarra Ranges, lost it in the fires of whenever it was, the fires that were about 12 years ago. It ruined their marriage, was destroyed because of it. And then she's ended up like living on people's couches for the last 10 years, and she was living in a van, I think, when I met her at an event.
Sure.
You know, this is a person that had a perfectly good property, but... Yeah, you have a few mishaps and problems, and it can happen to any of us.
Yeah.
You know, we're only a few steps away. And that's what people really need to remember, and be kind to people that, are looking for help.
As we're coming very close to an end.
Yes.
What's the answer, Heidi and Peter? You know, Heidi says it's going to get
Peter's
worse.
Peter's got the answer.
I wish I had. But I think if there's a message out of that we'd like to get across is that really, particularly for the Yarra Rangers, it needs to be a collaborative effort. You know, a lot of people working together. There's no one solution or a magic wand. So we work very well, for example, with council, with Inspiro, for example, around health. We have a great example of collaboration in the Lilydale Youth Hub, which, by the way, if people could jump on their website and support them, because funding might be running out for that.
Give us a website then, please, Peter.
Sorry?
Give us a website.
Well, just look, Google Lilydale Youth Hub.
Yep.
And that will come up. But because it really is, when we're talking about the supports and the lack of supports that we have in Yarra Rangers, we have no outreach, mental health, for example, which they do have down in Maroondah. Things like this that we need to build services as well as the voice around more social housing. So we have, as I said, we collaborate very well out here with Holy Fools, with Council, Salvation Army are active out here. Inspiro, as I mentioned, and each all of these people, but now we need to bring on state government on board, maybe to highlight the fact that Yarra Rangers misses out on so much and that we have unique problems out here where, as you know, we're semi-rural as well as having the metropolitan bit, which makes us a little bit unique.
Heidi, do you think the answers to our problems, and Peter's talking about them now, is the fact that state government need to, and either persuasion, need to start to take this seriously?
Sorry, my dog's barking. That's working right. From home. yes, I think Peter's quite right. It is going to take a lot of collaboration, and I think it's also going to take collaboration that leads to clear plans. So, you know, that a clear plan that you need this in Hillsville, then you need this in Yarra Junction, and you need this here, you know, and everyone agrees and everyone marches to the same tune. That is what will be the help. Yeah.
Well, otherwise, without that, it's going to be a bit of a mishmash.
That's right. So, that's exactly right. Exactly right. That doesn't work. Mm.
No, it's certainly a bigger problem when you're talking about it. What was 100-something thousand that just couldn't be helped?
Yep.
That's unbelievable.
It is.
Unfortunately, time for me to go. I thank you again for your time.
Thank you, Alan, for inviting us again.
No worries.
Thanks for having us, Alan.
And we will look forward to seeing you. No, Greg came in. Greg's turned up.
I know, we saw him.
When we needed him before, he wasn't here. Look, fair dinkum, eh? But anyway, look, I know that you're back with us again, I think maybe next month, Heidi. I'm not too sure.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Look forward to having you back. And no doubt Peter will catch up with you down the track. And thanks for your time again.
Thank you,
Alan. Thanks very much.
No worries. Thank you. Bye.
See ya.